If and when I write a book, you get a free copy. I'm not going to have my family go out and buy a book. And so 10 years ago, I wrote a book titled In a Pit with a Lion on a Snowy Day. Written a few books since then, but wrote a sequel, new book, new content, called Chase the Lion. We'll begin a series next weekend, but I like putting it into your hands when it's still black market. So, book doesn't release until Tuesday, so if you'd wait to put this on eBay until then, that would be wonderful. And so, on the way out this weekend, just a little gift from Laura and I to you, and I hope the book is a blessing. All right. Hey, thank you. This weekend, we conclude the series that our campus pastors, and can we give it up for all of our campus pastors, kicked off last weekend called #MyNCC. And if you have a Bible, you can turn over to the book of Nehemiah, and we'll get there in just a minute. Mark Burnett is the creator of a reality TV series from Survivor to The Voice. Really one of the most successful television producers ever. He and his wife, Roma Downey, just executive produced Ben-Hur, the epic classic film released a couple of weeks ago. Mark and Roma have actually been at our Miracle Theater here on Capitol Hill when they premiered the AD series. They were kind enough to come and do one of the first showings here. And they are wonderfully down-to-earth people that I think God has blessed in a profound way. And it's very difficult to reverse someone else's a success, but let me take a stab at it. About a decade ago, Mark wrote a book. I read it, and I loved it. I loved the title, Jump In. In fact, I'm going to borrow that title. That's the title of this message, Jump In. And I like the subtitle, too, Jump In, Even If You Don't Know How to Swim. Mark says, nothing will ever be perfect, and nothing can be totally planned. So when Mark Burnett was in his 20s, he was a British commando, and he tells stories about how the squadron leader would give them crazy assignments to test their resourcefulness. And so one day, a squadron leader took away his insignia, his identification, his money, and said that he needed to go 200 miles to London and get the signature of the conductor of the London Orchestra and then get back by the next morning. What? Like, what kind of crazy assignment is that? So Mark hitchhiked to London, got to the outskirts, hailed a cab, and said, listen, I promise you, I will pay you back. You give me your name and address. And the cab driver got him to the orchestra. He talked his way backstage, made it to the dressing room, knocks on the door, and wouldn't you know it, the conductor only speaks Italian. So things get lost in translation a little bit, but Mark somehow, some way gets the conductor's signature, gets back to base by the next morning. I wonder where he got the idea for Survivor. I love what Mark says in his book. You can accomplish amazing things if you put aside your fear of rejection and jump in. Can I say that one more time? You can accomplish amazing things if you put aside your fear of rejection and jump in. This weekend is not a complicated message. I want to challenge everyone at all 8 of our campuses to jump in. And what perfect timing. We're about to begin a new semester of small groups Come on, jump in. That's where you're going to find connection and relationship. That's where you're going to grow in your relationship with Christ. And then, listen, it takes more than 400 volunteers to pull off 13 gatherings at 8 campuses every weekend at NCC. We need all hands on deck. And so I would say, jump into a ministry. Jump into a small group. Jump into a ministry. And here's some good news. This weekend, final cuts happen in the NFL. They cut down to the final 53-man roster. And I want you to know, and our campus pastor at Kingstown, former Redskin pastor Joshua Simonette, will confirm this. We don't make cuts at NCC. Everybody makes the final roster. You're on the team. If you are here, you are on the team. Everybody has a role to play. All of us have a gift to give. And it's amazing what we can accomplish for the kingdom when all of us jump in. And that's what I love about Nehemiah. Didn't have the education. Didn't have the experience, didn't have the expertise, and he was an official. He was just a cupbearer in Babylon. But what I love about Nehemiah, here is someone who jumped in and made all the difference in the world. Can I invite you to stand at all 8 of our campuses? Would you stand as I read God's word, Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 17. Then I said to them, you see the trouble that we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and we will no longer be in disgrace. And I also told them about the gracious hand of my God on me and what the king had said to me. And they replied, let us start rebuilding. And so they began this good work. You can be seated. Let me make 5 observations right out of the gate. If you're taking notes, you'll probably have to write fast. Here we go. First of all, you can't go to church because you are the church. We have a benediction that we pronounce at the end of many of our weekend gatherings. We'll send you out with these words. When you leave this place, you don't leave the presence of God. You take the presence of God with you wherever you go. We're not one church with 8 campuses. We're one church with thousands of campuses. We are where you are. Wherever you are, that's where we are. And so, how fun is this? We're over there in the Pentagon. We're in the White House. We're in the Capitol. We're in classrooms, in coffee houses, in courtrooms. We're in operating rooms, boardrooms, locker rooms, you name it. NCC is wherever you are. And part of this is a mentality and understanding that church is a tag team sport. So we want you to be a part of the vision that God has given us, this 2020 vision of 20 expressions around the Metro DC area, not just campuses, but our coffee house on Capitol Hill, our second run first-rate movie theater, of course, our Dream Center that will come online in just a couple of months. We have a cafe in Berlin, Germany, and we're just getting started. We're going to stay busy because we want to see God's kingdom come and God's will be done. And that means that we need everybody to be a part of this dream. But I would also say that we want to be a part of the dream that God has given you. And dare I remind you that no matter what you do, no matter what your calling is, maybe you're a coach or a teacher, a trainer, a lobbyist, entrepreneur, a Hill staffer, can I remind you that then you are, in fact, a pastor coach, a pastor teacher, a pastor trainer, a pastor lobbyist, a pastor entrepreneur, a pastor trainer, and a pastor staffer. Your job is your calling. And your colleagues, or maybe your customers, or your congregation. Listen, I love what happens in our weekend gatherings, but that's not the game. right? The game is us living out our faith Monday to Friday and making a difference in the people's lives that God has put in our path. So you can't go to church because you are the church every day in every way. And thank you for the way that you represent the church at large and the way that you represent National Community Church. Second, if you're looking for an excuse, you'll always find one. You know what the number one excuse is? In my experience, it's this. I don't really feel qualified to serve because I have too many issues. Wow, welcome to my world. Listen, that is not an excuse. That's your ministry. You tell me where you've messed up, and I'll tell you where God wants to use you. It's not where you haven't made any mistakes. It's where you've experienced the grace of God. I mean, you tell me where you've been hurt, and I'll tell you where God wants to use you to bring healing into someone else's life. So if you're looking for an excuse, you'll always find one. The good news is if you're looking for an opportunity, you'll always find one. And they're all around us all the time. And so let's quit looking for excuses. Let's start looking for opportunities. Third, delayed obedience is disobedience. If you wait until you're ready, you will be waiting the rest of your life. I've never been ready for anything that God has called me to. I remember 19 years old and just finished my freshman year at the University of Chicago, a pre-law major, and that was kind of the plan. And then I sensed that God might want me to go into full-time vocational ministry. And you know what I did? I didn't have much to say, but I looked for any opportunity to say it. Anybody that would listen. And so I found myself in shelters and in youth groups, but my predominant pulpit was nursing homes, which was awesome because most of them couldn't hear me. And those that could, many of them fell asleep. And God was gracious because he allowed me to begin to preach the good news of the gospel without doing too much damage. In fact, I just like inviting you into my world. I think I was 21 the first time I preached kind of in big church, in a real church, and it was called Max Creek. It was a little rural church outside of Springfield, Missouri, and the basketball team went and did some ministry. And did you get that? Are you tracking with me? I don't know that I really call it ministry. They let us sing. And it wasn't real pretty. And then yours truly preached. And someday I'm going to apologize to this pastor. I don't remember his name. But I laid out an entire eschatological timeline from when Jesus was going to return, you know, second coming, whole nine yards. I think I had just taken that class that week. And it wasn't a week, and my whole timeline adjusted because I took another class. And I just feel so bad. I felt like I should have gone back and preached the whole sermon to undo the sermon I had just done. The Lord was gracious. He was gracious. But you know what? I think in some way, he just honors those who are willing to jump in. Even if they don't feel like they're ready. And the good news is God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. But you got to step in and begin to use the gift that God has given you. Fourth, don't let what you cannot do keep you from doing what you can. I think sometimes we get paralyzed by the massive need that we see and we wonder what difference we can make. You know, I think it's probably a timely reminder since I didn't have a vote, but the Catholic Church is canonizing Mother Teresa this weekend, and I wouldn't vote against it. What a wonderful saint of God. Mother Teresa, 1910, Agnes Gonchu Bajaksu, actually born in Albania. She's a teenager. She feels this call to serve. And she says to her superiors, "I have 3 pennies and a dream from God to build an orphanage." And her superiors say, "With 3 pennies, you can't build an orphanage. With 3 pennies, you can't do anything." Mother Teresa smiled and said, "I know, but with God and 3 pennies, I can do anything." This is someone who didn't let what they could not do keep them from doing what they could. And I love how she would reply to letters later in life. And when someone would ask her, "How can I make a difference with my life the way that you have with yours?" Her response was pretty standard. "Find your own Calcutta." What is that place? And you know what? It's probably not halfway around the world. It's probably just right across the block or right next door. It's probably right where God has you right now. And fifth, you can't just pray like it depends on God. You also have to work like it depends on you. And that brings us back to this story in Nehemiah, because I love what it says in chapter 3, verse 1. Eliashib, the high priest, it says he and his fellow priests went to work. Bam, that's it. Now, I guess they could have just kind of convinced themselves, "Well, we got more spiritual work to do. We're the ones that offer sacrifices. We're the ones that, like, let's save the hard manual labor of rebuilding a wall for someone else." But you know what I love is that this priest sets an example right out of the gate. Now, there are 38 names, 42 groups in Nehemiah chapter 3. And I'll mention a few of them in a little bit. But you know what I think? I think sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is just work. It's sweat equity. When the Bible says, "Love the Lord your God with all of your strength," come on, let's not overcomplicate that. Isn't that burning calories? How many calories are you burning serving the kingdom? It's sweat equity. It's breaking a sweat for the kingdom of God. And that can take lots of different forms and shapes. But can I just say that one of the most spiritual acts of worship is people who get up early Monday to Friday to go to work and beat rush hour traffic in the D.C. area. Oh, and then set their alarm early on Sunday morning to get to one of our campuses so that they can serve there too. That's heroic to me. And I believe that that's what God's called us to. You know, I think in a church like NCC, you know, sometimes you can feel like there's maybe less responsibility because there's a few more people. But can I remind you this weekend that you are not one of thousands, you are one of a kind. And no one else can take your place. You have a unique voice, a unique story, a unique gift, and you have a unique role to play at NCC. We're not the same without you. There never has been, never will be anyone like you. It's not a testament to you. It's a testament to the God who created you. But what that means is no one else can worship God for you. If you don't lift your praise to God, it's missing. There is no plan B. There is no B team. There's no one on the bench. There is no sideline in the kingdom of God. He has called each of us to play a part on that wall, to use our gifts and to make a difference. So really, the challenge this weekend is pretty simple. Jump in. That's what each of these people did in Nehemiah 3. And I love them for it. And we'll talk about them in just a moment. Let me tell you a story and then tell you one more story and then we're done. I'm not going too long this week. And don't get too excited. I mean, on May 25th, 1961, John F. Kennedy stood before a joint session of Congress and cast a crazy vision. He said, "I believe this nation should commit itself to achieving the goal before this decade is out of landing a man on the moon and returning him safely to the earth." On July 20, 1969, the Apollo 11 mission made it to the moon. They traveled faster and farther than anyone in human history. And Neil Armstrong, of course, descended that ladder on the outside of the Eagle lunar module and then set foot on the moon and spoke those immortal words that were heard by a billion people who were watching on a relatively new invention called the television. He said, "This is one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind." Kennedy cast the vision. Neil Armstrong stepped foot on the moon. But I think what gets overlooked often is the fact that it took about 400,000 people to get there. That's an unbelievable team of people. And most of them we've never heard of. I mean, Jack Garman, 24-year-old computer whiz, worked in backroom support, not even in the mission control room. But he memorized every alarm code, including 1202, the alarm code that went off when they were 33,500 feet from the surface of the moon. And that 24-year-old told him it was a false alarm. It was okay. They could still make the landing. There's Robert Carlton, who was in charge of monitoring fuel consumption. He's the one that announced 60 seconds. They had traveled 240,250 miles, but there was only 1 minute of fuel left for that lunar module to land on the moon, or the mission would have to be aborted. And so Robert Carlton gave the countdown. But my favorite, I think, is Eleanor. Eleanor Fohrocker, a seamstress who worked at ILC Dover, the company who designed the spacesuits. She said when Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin started jumping on the moon, she and her colleagues got very nervous. But she also knew that they had designed and redesigned, inspected and re-inspected, tested and retested every component of that spacesuit. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. About 400,000 people to make it happen. You know what? It always takes a team to accomplish any dream. And that's true of the dream that God's given you. It's not just about you. It's going to require some other people in your life. And the bigger the dream, probably the more people it's going to take. And so let's go back to Nehemiah 3, verse 16. It's a little verse that I love, and it's a little mysterious. It says that Nehemiah, son of Azbuk, so not the Nehemiah that's the main character, this would be another Nehemiah, made repairs to a point opposite the tombs of David by the house of heroes. Now, biblical scholars aren't really sure what the house of heroes was. But I'm going to take a little liberty this weekend, and I'm going to suggest that every single person who worked on that wall, who was a part of that mission of rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem, belongs in the house of heroes. You've got a perfume maker named Hananiah. You've got the daughters of Shallum, who is the ruler of the half district of Jerusalem. And then there's Malchijah, who repaired the dung gate. Name's pretty explanatory right there. It's where all the refuse went out of the city. This is not the job that you want. And so in my mind, Malchijah is one of those heroes who did a dirty job, did the job that maybe no one else wanted to do. But it was this incredible team effort. Let me bring it a little closer to home. Every weekend, we put a man on the moon. Every single weekend, we rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. It's a heavy lift, but I love the people who are part of it. I think of Jeff and Tina Brunson, who serve Crosswalk Kids at our Gainesville campus. Jeff is actually an assistant principal at an elementary school, and they have two elementary age kids. And so what do they do on the weekend? They come and work with elementary age kids. Come on, House of Heroes, right? I think of Tom and Tim and Bill and John who show up early on the wettest days, the coldest days, the hottest days. They're the ones who put out the parking cones and the parking signs at our Echo Stage campus. I think Rene Esposito, who serves as a federal police officer Monday to Friday. But on Sunday, she's the first one at Potomac Yard. You know why? Because she has an important job. She's brewing coffee for all the other volunteers. Without that coffee, hospitality's probably out the window, right? This is important. I think of Lyle and Cheryl Tard, who I was going to say at our Balsam campus, but I think I see them about every campus, every weekend. They're all over the place. I think of Joy and Pedro and Ashley and Rama at our Capitol Hill campus. The Marshall family, all five of them, including the kids, at Kingstown, not just serving on the weekends, but opening their home as a place of ministry during the week. I think of Monica, who is meeting and greeting at our Lincoln Theater campus, and Kion, who on Sunday nights rolls out the red carpet at Georgetown. Now, on that subject, can I make a little announcement? This is pretty exciting. We have a new location, new as in a couple of months, but we wanted to wait until we got a something called a contract, locked and loaded, to really announce to our entire church family. God's opened an amazing door of opportunity for us at Georgetown Visitation, right next to Georgetown University. And we have gatherings on Sunday nights at 5:30. I'm so excited about us having a Sunday night option once again. And so thanks to Pastor Jeremy and his leadership and our Georgetown campus. So how do I jump in? Well, let me give you one next step, okay? ncc.gd/ministry. Would you go there as a first step? And it's a very simple little form that'll take about 2 minutes of your time, an opportunity for you to look at a list of ministries and begin to discern. And if you would say, well, I don't know which one to jump into, well, try one of them. Jump into one of them. That's how you discover your passion and your giftedness. Listen, I've taken more gift assessments than you can imagine, and they have value when you do something on a piece of paper. But you know what? I believe in baptism by immersion. You just jump in and start serving, and you begin to see, is this a fit for who God has created me to be? And if it's not, we're going to be the first ones to say, you know what? No, that's fine. Try over here and then try over there until you find that perfect fit. We have a saying around NCC, once a shareholder, always a shareholder. Over the last 20 years, we've had thousands of people cycle through this thing called National Community Church. And you know who I have come to respect and appreciate the most? Well, let me be careful, because it might be those who have been here the longest. I'm so grateful. We've got some people that have invested some blood, sweat, and tears and been here for an awfully long time. And I do not take that for granted. But can I in the same breath say that I have come to respect people who know they're only going to be here for a few months. But they don't let that keep them from jumping in with both feet and saying, God has me here for a reason. God has me here for a season. Let's do this thing. And then they become a shareholder. And I don't know, when I look at the business section, after the sports section, trust me, you know what? I don't really look at the stock symbols that I don't own any shares in. But you know what? I look at those symbols where I might own a share or two. Why? Because I have some treasure invested in that, and I actually care about it. See, my goal is that everybody would feel that personal pronoun. This is my church, my NCC. But I also know that Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And it goes for time and talent too. Whatever we're investing in, that's where our heart's going to be. And let me just say thank you to all of our shareholders. Once a shareholder, always a shareholder. All right. I want to end this message in the weirdest way. It doesn't even make sense. I probably shouldn't even do it. I don't even know why I'm doing it. And it might just fail. But I went bowling a couple of weeks ago. And actually with Pastor Dave and Kate. And they've befriended a refugee family that's newly arrived in the D.C. area. And they said, let's go bowling, which, one, they'd never been bowling, and two, they speak very little English. It was awesome. Bowling's a universal language. And so the very first thing we did when we walked in is we rented shoes. Is there any place else where you rent shoes? Maybe there, I don't know. I just feel like making a really weird point at the end of this. We are not a bowling alley. Don't rent this church. Own it. Jump into it. Plug into it. Make it yours, and I better do this because only our live campuses are going to know what's going on, but I did not steal these. Thirteens, baby. I don't think I'm ever going to have reason to wear these again. So, let's pray. Father, help us this weekend not to just be hearers of the word, but to be doers of it. Lord, help us not to be those who would just rent a church. There's just way too much joy. There's way too much opportunity. There's way too much need for us to do that. And so, God, I pray that you would put it in our hearts to own this thing. Thank you for the gifts that you've given to each one of us, every person here this week. And I pray that they would feel invaluable and irreplaceable. There is no B team. There is no plan B. God has given you a gift. Use it for his kingdom purposes. And with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, let me just say this too. You can't rent God either. I want to challenge you this weekend to surrender your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That's where it starts. You don't rent a relationship, not when someone died for you, not when someone paid the penalty for your sin. Now, that's what I'm going to buy into. Now, the good news is it's free. Jesus said, it is finished. It's actually an accounting term. In other words, the debt is paid in full. But it's not for rent. It's free. And you can receive it this weekend. And I pray that you would do just that. In Jesus' name, amen.